Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Our Monday morning health briefing today is with the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Thomas Moran. Doctor, good morning. Let's start with the news about a new drug that could be effective in tough-to-treat breast cancers. Fill us in on this.
Yeah, good morning, Bob. There's a new study that's looking at experimental hormone therapy that's actually taken in pill form. The drug is called imlunestrant. It's a drug that actually works against the estrogen receptor area that is kind of fueling the breast cancers. About 70% of advanced breast cancers have estrogen-driven growth. This new drug is there to kind of block that area and blocks the response to the hormone estrogen, which gives the patients with this advanced breast cancer a longer lifespan than they typically would have with the regular treatment.
And how long before this would be available, or is it immediately available?
It's in clinical trials right now. It is not at a point where it's widely available. Mm-hmm. They're also studying this drug with another drug that really blocks the division of the cancer cells. It's called Verzenio, and the combination of these two drugs really helps those people with advanced breast cancer. There's going to be some more studies that go along with this, but this is a very promising drug. These drugs are actually taken in pill form, which is much easier to take, and the side effects are lower than the typical drugs used to treat breast cancer.
Encouraging news for sure. There have been some changes to the U.S. dietary guidelines. What are we supposed to eat now, doctor, or is it more of the same?
You know, I mean, you look at all the dietary guidelines and which diet is best for you. The diets that are really good is a balanced diet that has a lot of whole grains, fruits and vegetables, protein that is derived not only regular protein from meats, but protein from vegetables and beans and lentils, mm-hmm. that you get the plant-based proteins. It is a balance, and the less processed foods that you have, less sugary drinks, limiting your alcohol, much better overall for your overall health. Decreases your inflammation and gives you a better chance of having a nice, healthy lifespan.
So this is kind of formalizing what we already know, these updated guidelines that go into effect next year.
Yeah, they really want to, you know, looking at some of the, you know, increasing protein is looking at beans and lentils also to put them out of the category of plant and really put them in protein. Because you get a lot of good protein from that, plus you benefit from the rest of the plant-based flavonoids and antioxidants that come along with it.
And this new research that was recently published in the European Journal of Nutrition, does this say basically the same thing that the new guidelines do?
Yeah, it's the new guidelines are kind of revised of just common sense eating overall, and I can't stress enough that people are looking at this, and it's not like trying to be super complicated as you go through it. It's eat whole foods as much as possible, increase your nuts and fruits and vegetables, and balance your intake of alcohol. And really, the best thing you do is decrease the overall sugary drinks. So these guidelines come out as, you know, eat what your grandmother used to tell you to eat.
She was right, after all, huh? and this study that was in the European publication, was that mainly about cancer prevention?
Yeah, they're looking at a lot of the processed foods are inflammatory. So we have more and more GI cancers that we're seeing, you know, picked up. And they're in younger and younger populations. And we've talked about this before on earlier calls. What is the thing that we could do? And diet plays a huge role into that. And the less inflammation you can get into your gut, the better. And our foods that we ingest is one of the contributing factors that we go through. And so it's one of those things of if you really want to decrease your overall chances of disease in general, it's a healthy diet that helps with it. And yes, you can actually prevent or, you know, lessen your risk of getting certain types of cancers. Mm-hmm.
It's our Monday morning Northwestern Medicine House Call. Dr. Thomas Moran with us. And let's see if we can clear this up once and for all. How much water do we really need to drink every day, Doc?
You know, many people walk around really dehydrated, and there's lots of association with dehydration and overall health. So being hydrated is one of the key things to being healthy. So how do you really understand what that is? Like, you get 8 ounces, you know, 64 ounces, you need 8 glasses. The best way to look at it is, if you're going to the bathroom and urinating every about 3 hours, and your urine color is kind of light color, like lemonade a little bit or clearer, you're doing a good job. If your urine is dark, if you're not going to the bathroom frequently during the day, you're not taking enough water in. More you work out, more exercise you do and sweat, the increase that you have to have in your hydration. So you have your own gauge, and that gauge is how many times you go to the bathroom and what's the color of your urine look like.
Mm-hmm. Peeing information on the ones here at WGN. Very interesting. So, doctor, this new study really says that you don't need 8 glasses of water a day, which is the popular guideline, isn't it?
Yeah, you need a little bit more than that. So you think about it. If you really want to maintain yourself, it's every meal that you have a couple glasses of water. It does a couple things for you. It fills you up, stretches your stomach out. It helps you feel full earlier. You eat a little bit less during your meal, and you stay hydrated. If you do that, you're getting 6 glasses of water overall. And then there are foods that have water in it, so you're getting content of water from your food intake. And then just grab a glass of water throughout the day. Instead of going to a sugary drink or something like that, have a glass of water.
Yeah, that's a good point. We do get water from foods. As you get older, you don't feel as thirsty as you used to when you were young, but those are good tips. And while we're talking about the beverages, there have been so many studies, we've talked about them, on caffeine's effects on heart health. But the question that remains, I think, is how much caffeine is too much? What's the word on this?
Yeah, so it's very interesting on this. Well, they focus on the caffeine, but, I mean, you have to understand that the caffeine's in coffee or tea. Coffee and tea have hundreds of compounds in them, from antioxidants that help overall. Is it really the caffeine that you're intaking, or is it the combination from the brewing of the coffee or the brewing of the tea? So the studies looked at this, and they kind of came up with a sweet spot for the amount of caffeine that you intake in a day, and they put it at about 3 cups of coffee on average, or anywhere from about 300 milligrams of caffeine. The reality of the whole thing is, like, just taking caffeine in and of itself isn't going to give you the overall effects. It is because of the combination of what you're getting with the hundreds of other compounds that come into it with the coffee in addition to the caffeine. There is, like, one, you know, out of 7 deaths in the world is from heart disease. Any benefit that we can have of drinking something that is ubiquitous across the world, it is something that people enjoy. And if you do it in moderation, where you have about 3 cups a day or so, you're giving yourself a benefit overall, decreasing your risk. It helps kind of with your metabolism, with your insulin sensitivity, and then it boosts your fat metabolism, and it could protect your heart.
So a lot of these studies have said that the caffeine could help lower the risk of type 2 diabetes. Is that pretty much a certainty now?
Yeah, it looks like overall it increases the cell's sensitivity to insulin, which helps with overall your management of your sugar and helps boost the fat metabolism that you have. I mean, you have to look at individually. There are some people that have high blood pressure, fast heart rates. They already have heart disease. So their intake of caffeine should be moderated in discussion with your doc, because caffeine itself can increase your heart rate. It can increase your blood pressure. So it's a little bit of a balance as you go forward with it. Too much of anything, it's not going to be good. But overall, coffee, and there's so many studies that have come up out with coffee of the benefits in your overall health, from heart disease to diabetes to fat metabolism across the board. It's really a beneficial drink, and it's why it's one of the most drinks across the world.
Right. All right. Now, finally, let's get to exercise. And this really caught my eye, this headline the other day. why you should take a week off from working out, according to science. What's this all about?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that work out every single day, never take a break, never give themselves rest. And you have to understand that working out, when you're building muscle and you're exercising, you're doing kind of micro little tears to your muscle. And so training and workout equals damage. Damage to your tissue, your body needs time to repair. And the studies have come out with, if you're in a regular training program or exercise program, that every about 6 to 8 weeks, you should take about a week off and do lighter exercises, you know, 25 to 50% capacity of what you were doing before. And this is in addition to every week, you basically take a day off from exercising so you give your body a break. Again, it's like anything else. Too much of one thing doesn't necessarily make you improve and better. There's a lot of mindset from people that work out. If I take a break from the gym or running or exercising or lifting, I'm going to lose the gains that I have. And this research is really supports that you take the break, you actually maintain the gains, and you perform better when you come back and start exercising again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mix up the workouts. That's good. Cross-train, do different exercises. But basically, my takeaway from this is I'm going to use this report as an excuse for not working out. You know I'll do that. But thanks, Dr. Thomas Moran, Northwestern Medicine. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Bob. Take care.
You too.